1 Peter chapter 2 we want to continue with. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. First Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, how about that? Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Amen. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Amen.
We start out this chapter with a wherefore. Or a because of this. That because is having been born by the word of God, and that is the living word, Jesus Christ, proclaimed by the gospel.
Yes.
We are to throw off, lay aside, get rid of all these things, having been born from above, and desire to hear the gospel.
Amen.
It says to desire the undeceitful and simplicity of the word. That is, desire Christ and Christ alone. This is how you will grow. This is growing, not morphing. A child of God does not morph into something he is not. They just grow. A child of God has everything they will ever have in this new man. They just get bigger, if you will. They grow up. A child of God has everything. They do this by hearing the gospel over and over again because it says thereby.
Yeah.
It is just as a little child. They have everything they were born with. In growing, they just get bigger and more mature.
Yeah.
If you don't lay aside these things, you will have problems. You will have sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
You will stunt your growth, so to speak.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. Desire to hear his gospel, that gospel which is singular, that is simple, and that is the good news and the word personified. But then Peter throws in a qualification. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Amen.
You will not desire the sincere milk of the word if you have not experienced that Jesus Christ is gracious. But there is a question to you and I. Have I tasted, have I been partaker of, experienced the grace of God to me?
Yeah.
If not, I will not like this milk.
Yeah.
Those like this may put up with it long enough to get home, but they often will cleave to and love lies on God rather than loving the gospel of a gracious God who has manifested himself to his people through the gospel. I will also say that if you have not experienced this, there's nothing you can do about it. Because those who are his, those who are babes in Christ and born of God, all I can do is instruct those like that have not had this, tasted this graciousness to them. All I can tell them is to cry out for grace and mercy from this sovereign God.
Amen.
And I like what Robert Hawker says about this part of this passage. I'm going to read it. Quote, "And indeed, under the presumption which the apostle makes, and which is the sure consequence of being born again, the soul hath tasted that the Lord is gracious. This spiritual sense, which belongs only to the regenerate, makes the child of God exceedingly anxious to drink deeper into the glorious truths of Christ and his redemption. For the soul hath now felt somewhat of the plague of his own heart, hath had some views of the glories of Christ and the suitableness of Jesus to his wants as a poor sinner. And thus, having known somewhat of his own emptiness and Christ's all-sufficiency, the earnest longing of the soul is for the being satisfied with the breast of consolation and to milk out, and he delighted with the abundance of Christ's glory." End quote. The child of God does not only believe the gospel, they certainly do that, but they love to hear the gospel. They have to have it, as their soul is hungry for this heavenly manna and this water where man will never thirst again. This, my brothers and sisters, is constant with the child of God. Oh, I know there might be times where we might feel we do not think about God. Times where we think we are something when we are not. But it is not long until he causes us to see our need of him in everything. But I know it is constant because it says this, "To whom coming?"
Yes.
An action taken and an action that continues.
Yes.
This is one who we continue to come to. And this one is disallowed of men.
Yes.
This world will have nothing to do with this God of Scripture, who is the living God. They just want a God who will tell them how to live so they can go out and be on fire for God.
Yeah.
They are not in need of his spiritual food, which is his word, the gospel. But this is all about Christ. Christ is all, as the Scripture says, so why would I want anything else? It is because he is precious. And that's what I want to speak about today. But let me start out by giving you some definitions of precious, meanings from Scripture. I want to talk about some of the words used as precious in our text and in 1 Peter, just to get an understanding of what precious is as it relates to our text. We have the first word for precious is from 1 Peter 1:19, and you all remember where I read it, where we read, "But the precious blood of Christ."
Yes.
That word simply means valuable or had in reputation.
Yeah.
It's derived from a word meaning valued. His blood is valuable because it is valued.
Yeah.
That is simple enough, but I will have more on that later. But remember, I'm just trying to give a sense for the meanings of these words for precious. The next word for precious is from our text, 1 Peter 2:4. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." I will add, this precious, as it states it here, is precious to God.
Yes.
And that is important. This word is the word the previous word is derived from, which means valued. This word is also derived from a word that means a value or money paid. We're talking about precious. So I would say it this way, precious to God because God the Father values the Son, because he gave his only begotten Son to pay the payment needed for the salvation of man. Next, we have another word in our text, 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious.
Amen.
This one, of course, means a value or money paid, or it can mean esteem of the highest degree.
Yes.
But this word is also derived from a word that means, and this is good, to pay a price as a penalty or be punished with. I'll leave that for later, but I want to say this. There is a reason why he is precious to a believer. But then the last one I will throw in for free, and it's from 2 Peter 1:1, where it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. This one means of equal value or honor, which is derived from the word we just mentioned, which means a value or money paid. This one I won't get into too much today. But so let's look through these three things. His precious blood, precious to God, and precious to his people. I know this verse is not in our text, but it's totally related to our subject of what is precious. Precious to God and precious to his people. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 we read, For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus Christ, because of who he is and what was accomplished by the shedding of his blood, is valuable without any other things needed to be considered. It says here as a lamb without spot and without blemish. He told his apostles, Peter specifically, and maybe the people who came to get him in the garden heard it as well, but in Matthew 26:52-53 we read, Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? If it was not ordained to happen, if Christ had not meant it to happen, that is him shedding his blood, then it would not have happened. What did he say in another place? John 10:17-18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Remember, Jesus Christ is a man like you and I, but he is also God. We are told that he knew no sin. Had he been pleased, he could have still been living right now today on this earth. But he was not pleased to do that. He died giving up his life and shedding his blood for an ungodly people to save them from their sins, being made a curse and sin for them. It said he was a lamb without blemish and without spot. Even when he was marred beyond recognition, he was without blemish and without spot.
Amen.
Man could not pollute our Lord because he is precious to the Father, and only the Father can pollute him, if you will. Because what does the Scripture say? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Only God could do such a thing. We better be thankful for that he was pleased to do this. He did this for us all. That is, he did this for all those who are sheep, because not all are sheep.
That's right.
It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Christ told some this in John 10:25-27. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
This is why his blood is precious, why his blood is valuable and valued, because of who he is and what he has done. Yet it pleased God to bruise him. So next, he is valued by God.
Amen.
1 Peter 2:4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Jesus Christ is the elect. He is chosen by God the Father to redeem a people. He's that cornerstone that men trip over, that stumbling stone. They are not looking for him to build the house. They overlook him to try to build their house, and they trip over him. Men and women in this world do not want a Jesus who is all and in all. They want a Jesus who will help them out when they want something. They have something to do for God. They care nothing about what God can do for them or to them, for that matter. They despise the elect. If anyone is in Christ, they despise you because they despise the elect.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 42:1 says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles.
Amen.
God choosing God to redeem a people for his name. Who else would be able to do such a thing for such a people? But God the Father delights in his Son. His Son, Jesus Christ, would not waver and would not fail. You see, this cornerstone has already been laid. You build on any other thing than this cornerstone, your house will fall. His sacrifice and all his works, the Father smells as a sweet smelling savor. Isaiah 53:10-11. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Just think about it. God the Father will see the travail of the Son over his sin and shall be satisfied.
Amen.
I think Walter did a message on satiated or something like that. That's what that word means, satiated. Totally satisfied.
Yes, sir.
It is your sins. It is your sins. But yet, it is his sins.
Amen.
If he died for you, they were laid on him, but they were made his. And with that sacrifice for the sins of the people, him being made sin for them, he satisfied God the Father.
Amen.
God the Father loves the Son, and he sent the Son to do what he did. When he done it, God was satisfied. Fully and completely. So there's nothing else to be done for sin. If God is satisfied, if the Son died for you, God is satisfied. So why would we not be?
Yeah.
Some aren't, but his people are, which is my next point. Precious to his people. 1 Peter 2:7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The angels desire to look into these things, but they cannot. They do not know what it's like to be dead in trespasses and in sin, but then to be redeemed by the glory, Lord of glory. We as fallen, sinful human beings have no idea what it's like to be holy, just, a holy, just, and righteous God, and then to be made sin. Some will know the judgment of God, the forsaking of God, but those are not holy, so they will never see the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Only God in the face of Jesus Christ knows this fully and completely, because he did this to redeem a people for his name. But why is he so precious to us? Well, just to say right off, he redeemed us from the curse of the law and made us righteous and holy before this God who forsook his son, and he did this for us. Now, I want to look at another word used as precious in the Scripture, and I believe this passage will give us a glimpse of how there are some who know the preciousness of Jesus Christ the Lord. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and right now, just verse 6. Matthew 26 and verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. The word for precious here, when you look at the meaning of the word, it means this: highly valuable and precious. But it is derived from two other words. One meaning weighty or burdensome, Joe, and the other meaning money paid. When we look at the account in Matthew, she had this alabaster box of ointment. Some say, if I have it right, that this was so costly that it took somewhere around a month's worth of wages to purchase. How she earned her wages come into picture here. Looking at the meaning, since it's derived from those other two words, so it carries that meaning with it. To see some of this, let's turn over to another recorded scripture of this event in Luke. Luke 7. Luke 7. Luke 7 and verse 36 through 39. Okay, Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, if you go on to read that, our Lord never tells this Pharisee that, no, you got it wrong. This woman is not a sinner. He just begins to explain what grace is.
Yes, sir.
This grace that he explained only comes to those who are sinners. This woman had something which was highly valuable. She couldn't or wouldn't just pour it out on the ground. It cost her a lot of work to get this ointment. But getting it was burdensome and weighty. It cost her dearly. All the work of her hands, and this work done was costly, and it was burdensome, because the work had to keep being done over and over. And what a burden that is. But what did this woman do? She took that which cost her dearly. It was a weight she carried, but she had to have it. She could not do her work without it. In Mark, we won't turn there, but in Mark 14 of this account, it says, she break this precious box of ointment. Remember in Proverbs where it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Must show himself friendly. Those four words meaning this, to spoil, to make good for nothing, to break. This word for break in Mark means to crush completely, to shatter, to break. When a sinner is brought to the Lord, they will break into pieces their works. They will show, they will admit that the works of their hands has only served to condemn them more. But when she learned of Christ, when she was revealed Christ, what did she do? She laid all her weight and burden, which was costly to her, she laid it or put it on the head of Christ because of what he was going to do. She anointed his feet because his feet are so beautiful. The scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings to the poor. Our Lord is our example. He was the one who truly brought good tidings to sinners. Yes, sir. He proclaimed that his works would save poor sinners like you and I. This box of ointment was a product of her sins, and she put that on his head for his burial. He was the only one who could relieve her of this costly burden. It was a great price that this ointment was purchased. The cost was death in reality because it was bought with sin, in sin. She had to have someone to take that burden from her. Keep in mind, this word is derived from the word for precious in our text in verse 7. One of the words is derived from means to pay a price as a penalty. This woman paid a price for her works, but she laid that on Christ. We have something as fallen sinful men and women that is costly, and it's all we have. It is the results of all the works we have done with our hands and our feet. What are we to do? Lay it on him.
Amen.
What do you and I have that could have anything to do with this? Other than that expensive, that very precious box of ointment to put on his head. Matthew 26:7 says, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Our burden of trying to work out our own salvation, he causes us to break that box open and pour it on his head for his burial. We need him to take it to his death, else we will have to meet God with that weight. So he is precious. That is valuable and valued by those who know he is their only hope of salvation before a thrice holy God. God's people are willing to bow down at his feet and bathe him with their tears because he is precious, period. God the Father laid all my sins on him, so why would I not do so? I know I do not literally in any way place my sins on him, but I'm talking about that saying Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I commit to him that which only he can do, and that is to take away my sins, and because of that, making me righteous before God. What did Paul commit to him? All his sins, past, present, and future. For if Christ had not bore all of them, you would still stand before God with them. But Christ paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. What am I trying to say here is like that publican did, where the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. But the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. But what did he do? He smote on his breast because he had a burden and a weight and that he needed someone else to take. Someone who was worthy to take it. That could redeem me to God by his works. He said, propitiate me. Take my place, O Lord. Be my substitute. Take my sins far away from God so that he will never see them again, making me white as snow in Jesus Christ the Lord. This is the sincere milk of the world, the word that all the saints of God desire. The milk of salvation before God through and by our Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood is precious, who he himself is precious. Precious to God and precious to his people. It says, to whom coming? And you know what that's saying, right? I come and I keep coming.
Yes.
Because he's our only hope of salvation.
He
is a stumbling stone to those who are not his, and maybe for a time to those who are his but have not been revealed him yet. But when he is revealed, they will come and they will keep coming. They will take what has been precious to them and lay it on him, so that he might take it far from them by his works. Oh, what a precious gospel, that Jesus Christ has done it all with nothing left over for me to do. A good thing, too, because I have nothing to give. I have already spent my wages, and what they have gained me is death. Jesus Christ is all. There's no work for me to do. There's no law for me to keep. All he says for me to do is to believe him. And he even provided the way for me to do that. Nothing is possible with man, but by him all things are possible. And not only possible, but sure and secure, because he did what was needed to make all this possible. He is truly precious. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for once again allowing us to see you, dear Lord, in your gospel, dear Lord. Cause our hearts to just yearn and love to hear your gospel, dear Lord. Be with us as we go out, dear Lord, and we have to do things in this world and deal with this world, but there may just be a sinner out there, dear Lord, that may, by your servants and your power and your grace, hear his gospel. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.